Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
So we're the show of honesty, right?
Yeah.
All right, time for honesty. What the f***?
Chris Foligno pretty much speaks for the entire city of Atlanta with that statement. 1101, Cellini Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. TPC Sugarloaf is where we are. The opening round of the Mitsubishi Classic ongoing. Want to thank everybody for having us here. And want to thank everybody out there for listening today. And what a day it is going to be. You can listen for free all of the time thanks to the Fan app. And that is driven to you by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. Beaver Direct, quickest and easiest way to shop for a car online. You got 680thefan.com. You've also got the X platform. In a word or a GIF, describe the Falcons pick. That's the X platform question of the day. At Chris Domino, at Cellini, Nick, at Matt Lear, at Road Dog 680, at 680 The Fan. You can follow along on Facebook and Instagram as well.
This seems like a day that should be like 680 The Fan Plus, like premium content that you have to pay for. This is still all free today?
It is.
The day after the draft and that pick, it's still free?
Unfortunately, yes. Because I think lot of people would pay, I don't know, a dollar or two to be a part of this conversation today. Look, I got it all out of me last night, my anger. Mm-hmm. I still feel the same way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to yell.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to scream.
Okay.
I'm not going to rant.
Yep.
I'm not going to rave.
Okay.
Because this is going to be, to me, similar to Marcell Ozuna. 2 years from now, 3 years from now, either we're going to say this is the greatest I told you so in a lot of people's eyes in the history of this town when it comes to sports, or all of us are going to have to eat crow that felt the way about Marcell Ozuna if this all works out for the Falcons. Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris hitched their wagon to a very, very controversial pick. Not the player himself. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they selected who they selected at number 8 overall.
Well, there are some scenarios we're going to play out. Let me see what they include. Not making the playoffs. Making the playoffs and losing quickly in the first round. And then making the playoffs and having revisionist history, which will not be fair-ish. But it will be warranted because of what they did last night. We'll get to that stuff. I set a new notebook record. I've got 4 full pages of notebook things. I had the notebook out last night waiting for the pick. I didn't think it was going to be this. I kept asking for the last couple of weeks, where does the draft wink, wink really begin? Who throws the first big curveball? Well, I didn't expect it to be us at 8. So we did. And we're the most talked about 8th pick in the history of the first round. People couldn't get their grades out fast enough for this pick. By the way, they're all over the place because some grade the player, but then grade the situation, and those are 2 different grades. When people have to go to 2 different grades to explain what just happened.
Which I think I just did.
Yeah, you don't have a problem with the player. You have a problem with the situation. Yeah, so we'll get to all that stuff. We're going to take some of your phone calls today. Phil Simms is going to jump on with us at about 12:20. He absolutely believes what he believes when it comes to quarterback talent. You'll hear what he thinks about Michael Penix, the talent. We'll ask him about the room, the quarterback room, and all of these other things.
Because don't forget, he was kind of mired in a quarterback controversy for a while. He and Jeff Hostetler with the Giants. So he kind of knows what this room can be like, best and worst case scenario.
Yeah. And then we'll mention at some point that Kirk Cousins' agent, he wanted the world to know, because he didn't have to, but he definitely wanted the world to know. Well, I don't know. They called us when they were on the clock with about 8 minutes left on the board. So is that a problem or not? Is that a problem or not, in your opinion?
What was said to Kirk Cousins when he signed here? Who wanted Kirk Cousins here? Was it more Arthur Blank? And that's what we heard prior to him signing here. And was this a move where Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris said, this is really the guy we want? Is there still division and not collaboration? There's a lot more questions than answers today.
What I didn't get is, I told you I deal in the bundle. Where did you spend your free agent money? What do you do with the first 2 rounds of draft picks? And what did you do with your coach and staff? And I'll find out, you know, I'll sort of make an assessment when it comes to player and the building. I didn't think this was going to be the scenario. We played out the get the rookie quarterback at 8, spend your money on defense. There's the rush edge. There's the corner, because Kirk Cousins' money would have spread out very nicely to do that. But you might not have been a playoff team this year because you could have had the growing pains of the rookie. I signed on the Kirk Cousins money because I thought it was the quickest path to the postseason. What I was expecting is the 8th pick, the 43rd pick, or anything else you might do in the first two rounds of the draft was going to be all-inclusive to me deciding, oh, look, for $160 million, let's call it $100 million, because he could be gone after 2 years. For $100 million, what did I end up with? Well, I feel like I ended up with a piece that's not going to be on the field unless something goes horribly wrong for 2 years. So what are they rooting for? Are they rooting for it to go really well with Kirk Cousins? Because let me ask you something. It goes horribly wrong, you cut him after 2 years. He breaks his leg, his Achilles, both of them go away. You get rid of him, you pay the insurance whenever you have to, and I got a quarterback. What happens if you dream big? If you go to the Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins, especially in year two, what are you doing then? Now, again, you're supposed to be building to go to the Super Bowl. You're not supposed to be building to win the South. We'll hear a couple of clips that will let you know. We're thinking about both the present and the future. Let me look into the future. What if 37-year-old Kirk Cousins, because you've done some other nice things around here, what if you're in the Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins at 37? Do you send him away and you go, well, we took the guy, we got to use him?
Well, according to what Terry Fontenot said last night, no, because he said, I hope that Kirk Cousins is here for 5 years and Michael Penix never plays. To me, that's another major indictment. Then why did you take him? I'm going to ask you this, Chris.
Well, it plays into what are you actually rooting for as a front office and a coaching staff now? What are you rooting for?
You got me, because I don't know. Let me ask you this. I'm not saying it's never happened before.
Go ahead.
Can you recall a situation where a team took a player in the top 10, and that player didn't play for not one, but 2 years?
Was earmarked for that.
I can't think of anything
was earmarked
along
for
those lines. And please don't bring up Jordan Love, and don't bring up Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was taken 24th overall. We remember him sitting in the green room when Brett Favre was still there. Jordan Love was taken 26th overall. If you're the Packers, you could afford that luxury.
Well, because they were going to the postseason.
And I'll go back
and
to what
they had arguably, at the time, one of the two or three best quarterbacks twice in Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
You can afford that luxury. You can't if you're the Falcons. And I'll bring up what a Packers fan said to the locker room this morning. You can hear the locker room 6 to 10 weekdays here on The Fan. When you look back at those teams, they weren't Super Bowl teams. And maybe they came up short a couple of times because they were short in other areas where when you chose those quarterbacks to sit on the bench, you could have chosen somebody else that would have put that team over the top.
So the man might have read, really the highlight of my notes was when I said there's scenarios. Don't make the playoffs. Terry Fontenot might be fired anyway if they don't go to the playoffs this year. Make the playoffs, but don't sack a quarterback or get a cornerback get beat or be late in the wide receiver room because of an injury. And you're going to go, well, if we only would have taken this guy, or this guy at 8, maybe we would have won that playoff game. Now, I'm not telling you you'd be factually accurate, but it's going to be an easy thing to think about. Whatever lack of success you have, you didn't sack the quarterback enough this year. A corner gets beat on a big play. Your wide receivers are thin because we don't have a lot of them now when somebody goes down. Man, if at 8 we had taken, you do understand that people are going to take whatever that pick could have been and elevate that person to be the difference maker, which could have been a run to the Super Bowl.
And also, let's keep an eye on what Latu does with the Colts. Let's keep an eye on what Dallas Turner does with the Vikings. Let's keep an eye on what Quinyon Mitchell does with the Eagles, because people are going to do that as well.
I'm then going to do the side-by-side comparison with a guy who's not scheduled to play for at least 2 years, which totally will tell you that this is out of whack, because you're not supposed to do a side-by-side when one guy is playing and one guy isn't. You earmarked him to not play at 8. That's problematic.
For 2 years, Chris. For 2 years.
Well, no, they said they hope it's so good for 4 years that the guy never plays.
But it's at least 2.
I know.
And you're also eating around $33 million when it comes to the quarterback room as well. You're going to have to eat $3.3 million, assuming now you're going to let Taylor Heineke go. This whole thing didn't make sense. You break the bank, you cripple the cap, and allegedly you cheat to sign a quarterback so you can draft another quarterback in the top 10 who's going to sit for 2 years. None of this makes sense. And again, it's not about Michael Penix. Michael Penix, I think, is going to be a very good NFL quarterback. But the Falcons could not afford that luxury.
I don't care about his age. That's another one I don't care about. I don't care about his age.
I know it's choking you up. It's tough to deal with. And his age, he's going to be 24 at the beginning
so
of the season.
So 26 if he starts playing. I don't care if he's 26. By the way, he has the best case scenario of anybody where he does get to learn. Now, what the room is going to be like, what the vibe is going to be like, well, Kirk Cousins is a great guy. Do you want to know what I heard last night in the post-draft press conference? It's like getting caught cheating in public, and you have to publicly say that you still love your wife. Because they said Kirk Cousins is the starter. We're excited about Kirk Cousins a multiple of times. Multiple of times. So that stems from the agent putting out what he put out.
Mike McCartney said, yes, it was a big surprise. Michael Penix going to the Falcons. We had no idea this was coming. Now, what is he owed? You still have to be a professional.
Yeah, you don't want another voice, or you don't want to... Listen, Kirk Cousins, he got us in trouble already with his mouth.
They told Kirk Cousins what was going on as they were on the clock. What do you owe him? But the question is, what did you tell him when he signed here, and would he have signed here had he known Michael Penix was going to get drafted at number 8 overall?
And it's not the pissiness of the pick. It's the what did you tell him before you even got to this point? And if you like Penix this much, here's what I'm going with. If you like Penix this much, why did you buy Kirk Cousins? Because I could have spent money on the defense then.
Danelle Hunter certainly comes to mind, who's now playing in Houston.
That's the one that bothers
me. You could have broke the bank with him.
If you liked him enough to pick him at 8 to make him a backup, then you should have just picked him at 8. You should have taken a Kirk Cousins big pile of money and spend it on defense. That's the part that doesn't, like, again, I'm looking for a bundle. I follow the dollar sign. Follow the how big a bucket of talent do you have? Well, you can't have as big a bucket as you would have had if you're taking the 8th pick and putting him on the sidelines for at least 2 years.
There's no way
you're as talented as you could have been. If you loved him enough to take him, that money could have been spent elsewhere, which in part probably would have given you as good a chance, if not better a chance, for longer-term success.
Here's Terry Fontenot on why Michael Penix was the pick.
Very excited about today, about the outcome of today, being able to add Michael Penix Jr. When you can add a high-caliber player like that with his intangibles, those tools, he's a winner. Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity.
And no one's questioning who he is, but for those that are saying, well, you have a premium at quarterback, and, well, we can't have another Desmond Ridder situation. Well, then if you're the Chiefs, why don't you just take a quarterback in the first round every year? If you're the Bills, why don't you just take a quarterback in the first round every year? Because, hey, those guys could get hurt as well.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
That rationale makes zero sense.
And, by the way, we cleared him medically. We're not expecting him to get hurt. We don't want him to get hurt. I heard that. We want to have success for 4 years. And the other part is we don't expect him to get hurt because the physical will tell you he's not expected to get hurt. But you still picked a guy that you're going to sit for 2 years, which tells me the talent you could have in this team today, whether you got the pick right or wrong, the talent on paper, Sunday coming this September, you would have been a more talented football team had you not picked Michael Penix. You would have had more talent for September 12th or whatever the hell the day is, for November 8th, whatever the hell the day is, this year. So I don't know how angry I'm supposed to be. I find it, I'm bemused. I really am. I'm bemused because what is it I say? I have no idea if any of them can play, and I want storylines. I got 4 pages of notes in my notebook because it's a storyline-driven thing.
It was really, and I'm not saying that I pay attention to other owners around the NFL, but when we found out it was going to be Michael Penix, Adam Schefter did have the story, and he was talking about it right before the pick. I was wondering about the interaction there. Why is Arthur Blank? Can you imagine your boss being right in the middle of everything as you're trying to work through a scenario? To me, that's a distraction in and of itself, having to explain it to Arthur Blank. Get out of there.
I don't know if any room looks good.
Go sit down. Go grab a sandwich.
I don't know if any room looks good because I put a clip of the Bears room, and they acted like they were surprised that Caleb Williams was available. There were 42 guys. It looked like a session of Congress that all started hugging each other. So none of these rooms look good. Now, there is a clip I put up of what looks like Terry Fontenot talking to Arthur Blank. They could have been talking about today's breakfast. They could have been talking about, going to see Trey Songz at Phillips Arena in September. I don't know what they were talking about, and we'll never know. But it did look like he was explaining something to Arthur Blank.
It did. That's the exact same piece of video that I saw.
It looked like he was explaining something to Arthur Blank. And he used, hand motions, and it was that whole universe love. I'm not saying he was GM-splaining. But it sort of looked like he was GM-splaining.
And if you're going to say, well,
where his money is gone in both Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix.
Let's see what happens today and tomorrow in the draft. You have no choice. I mean, it's not like you can choose A or B. There's no other option. It's now plan B. But what I'm saying is you can't roll the dice when you're a team that has needs and you're in win-now mode and sit a top 10 pick for 2 years. You just can't afford to do that.
Lose a playoff game because you didn't sack a quarterback, and people are going to say, if you only would have. Lose a playoff game because a corner gets beat, if you only would have. Lose a playoff game because you needed a receiver, because somebody gets banged up. Look what you could have had. That's going to be a story. So that's what they're dealing with now. And I guess they're grown men, and they're going to put on their big boy pants and deal with everything that comes with this. Whether somebody says, like the talent, just don't understand the pick, that's the least of their worries. Because at least the concession is like the talent. The don't understand the pick, if I'm spending money on the Falcons, if you want my emotion, if you want my emotional investment and my financial investment, you just made it harder for me. You just made it harder for me. I'm sorry. Again, you can't tell me you're rooting for a guy to have 4 great years. Hope he never plays. Okay. So nobody wants to hear the word hope, by the way. Even to sell it differently. We hope he plays 4 years. Okay.
You're in a no-win situation no matter what you say here. Here is more from Terry Fontenot talking about the quarterback situation now versus what could happen somewhere in the future.
Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk. Very excited about this team, and Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future. The draft is, you look at the future and you look at big picture, but we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback, but adding Michael Penix is thinking about the future.
Do you not think they're publicly apologizing for getting caught fooling around? That's what it sounds like when you have to keep saying, Kirk Cousins, I love you. Kirk Cousins, I love you. Kirk Cousins, I love you. He should know that already. You gave him $160 million, or at least $100 million for 2 years. You shouldn't have to reemphasize this, but it feels like you almost had to.
So here's the question. What if Kirk Cousins struggles this year, and then you have a quarterback controversy on your hands all of a sudden? If he has one bad game, you are asking for more trouble than I think it's worth for a number of different reasons over the next 2 years.
You're also putting pressure on Michael Penix to be eventually, when he gets on the field, he's not going to have time for growing pains. You're going to say, well, what he learned in the room for the last 2 years, there should be no growing pains. He should be ready to go. You almost have to make him close to a Hall of Fame quarterback to not have him have to wear the problems of this
pain. And I hate to say this because I know it goes against everything the show stands for. Did he have 3D glasses on, Michael Penix, when he got drafted?
Yeah, I don't know.
Were those X-ray vision glasses?
A lot of stuff.
Was he seeing through the walls, peering into the future?
Do not turn into a Pittsburgh Pirates broadcaster, please.
I'm just asking.
There's a lot of things that were going on last night.
Asking what he had on.
A lot of things.
Here is Michael Penix on Becoming a Falcon.
It was independent night.
Yeah,
people seem to be independent.
It was. But back to the glasses, man, Michael Penix.
I'm blessed with opportunity. You know, I'm gonna take advantage and make the most out of it. You know, for me, you know, coming in, obviously, Kirk Cousins, the guy who's been in the league, you know, he's been in there for a while. You know, he's played a lot of football. And so I feel like, for me, I'm going to come in and I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn from him. You know, try to soak in all the knowledge that I can from him, because, you know, obviously he's been in the league for a while, like I said, and, you know, it's a reason behind that.
You're going to learn for 2 years unless something happens to Kirk Cousins, or is Kirk Cousins not coming along as quickly as they thought? Either way, you look inept. Are you having buyer's remorse when it comes to Kirk Cousins?
Well, you already spent the money.
So you were desperate, and you drafted Michael Penix. Either way, you don't look good as a franchise today.
If you liked him enough, you should have just gone with him and spent your money elsewhere. That's all. And deal with the natural growing pains. This kid doesn't even get natural growing pains. He doesn't. He's not looked at as a franchise quarterback, so that's good news. Oh, wait, but he will be at some point, because you spent the 8th overall pick when you already had a guy who was the starting quarterback. You have to be exceptionally great, and that's the other part that now falls on Michael Penix to make any of this worth it.
The 11 o'clock hour presented by Finley Roofing.
Can we play one more clip?
Sure.
Okay, I apologize. Finley Roofing, very good people.
They are good.
Yeah. There's a clip.
We'll get to them in a second.
Adam, Matt Lear, can you pull the clip, Adam, that we were talking about this morning where I tried to put out like a fake Terry Fontenot thing, and I put it in quotations, but I said it's fake, as to how they were going to justify this. And what they were going to do is they were going to say that we will never get a chance to pick a quarterback with this talent again because we will never pick this low. The other part was going to be, and because Kirk Cousins is the man he is, this will do nothing but help Michael Penix. That one came a little bit later. Listen to this part.
We're going to get the quarterback for the future. That's the nature of the beast, right? We were lucky enough to watch Matt Ryan play 14 years, I believe 13 of them with the Atlanta Falcons. And at some point, you got to find a way to have that succession plan in place. And just so happened, it poses itself tonight. And with the guy that we have and the guy that we got and the guy that we think coming back, like I said, we don't want to be back in this position again to pick that guy.
We won't be.
We'll never be picking in the top 10. You can't get an arm like this and a talent like this. We'll never have another opportunity because we're going to be so good that we're never going to have an opportunity.
I hope I'm
wrong. It's a try-hard.
Much like I've been
wrong. It's a try-hard moment.
About a lot of things. These two are slowly but surely starting to sound like used car salesmen. Slowly but surely now you're drifting in that direction. And you've upset the fan base. The majority of the fan base is, you've seen it on social media, they're very worked up today. You did it for no reason. You didn't have to do this.
Yeah, there was a totally, you know, I talk about Rommel's three-part plan. Like, I got three columns. Here's A, here's B, here's C. And it really is dependent upon the situation. Once you sign Kirk Cousins, I didn't need to do this. That one goes away. They did say they got a couple of calls. Nothing, you know, knocked their proverbial socks off. There was nothing that they could have done. There was nothing that, okay, well, I got to be honest. As a GM, that sits on you because you've got to work the hocus-pocus jibber-jabber better to make that eighth pick more valuable in a world where quarterbacks were taken right after the
and
one that you just took.
To Terry Fontenot talk, you would think he'd be very good at that. The 11 o'clock hour, as we were saying, presented by Finley Roofing, Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer with four decades of experience and a lifetime warranty on their work, finleyroofing.com. The Bongos mean headlines.
We're the headline today. The Atlanta Falcons picking eighth are the headline of the NFL draft. And it's not even a close second.
No.
It's not about Caleb Williams. It's not about the guy who everybody says was a steal. We are truly picking eighth. A sort of nondescript spot. We are truly the headline. And I'm telling you, the grades, everybody did their Falcon grade before every other grade that they did because they all wanted their chance at this one.
It's a nightmare. Chris Domino's worst nightmare happened on the golf course yesterday. We'll explain that real quick at 11:50. Braves record holder A.J. Minter scheduled to join us at noon. And like you said, Chris, Phil Sims has some strong opinions on the Falcons and Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, he's going to tell you what he thinks of the player. He'll also tell you what he thinks of the pick and the situation. I think you're going to want to stick around and hear it.
Phil Sims will join us less than an hour from now at 12:20. When we come back, a record-shattering night that the Falcons helped create last night. More NFL talk comes your way next. Cellini, Domino, TPC, Sugarloaf is where we are. The Mitsubishi Classic opening round happening as we speak. It's the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, Michael, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing?
So we're excited to be a Falcon, and I look forward to seeing the continued success of your incredible career.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you. We look forward to meeting you and your whole family.
Yes, sir.
All get here and be safe, and we'll give you a big Atlanta hug tomorrow. Okay, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Everything sucks.
Just did he think he was talking to Michael Vick? Everything is great. 11:29, Cellini Domino.
The cheap shots just write themselves.
TPC Sugarloaf is where we are. Arthur Blank talking to Michael Penix Jr. last night. Michael Penix Jr. will be in Atlanta later today. He will meet with the media. We'll talk to AJ Minter at noon. We'll talk to Phil Sims about this whole Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons deal at 12:20.
He might be catching shrapnel for doing nothing other than answering the phone. Like, seven teams before made phone calls just like that. Arthur made that phone call, and he might be catching shrapnel because he took a phone call.
That's right.
He's going to end up here in town today.
That's the way it goes. It's not the fault of Michael Penix. Don't blame the player. Blame the people selecting the player. Braves fans from all over Georgia can now participate in and win with the Atlanta Braves Foundation's 50-50 raffle. One lucky winner will take home 50% of the total jackpot. The remaining 50% goes to the Atlanta Braves Foundation. Enter in person or choose park online. Now, if you enter online, you got to be located physically in the state of Georgia. Go to Braves.com/5050 or visit the MLB ballpark app while in Georgia.
Do you remember over the last couple of weeks I said, why don't they make trades at the NFL draft night? Why doesn't, you know, the commissioner come out and say, you know, this guy's hat. Now you just do the Ruski.
Sure.
You know, this guy who was picked, I don't know, let's just say 8th, all of a sudden wears the hat of the team that had picked 16th, and you do a trade and some other stuff is bargained. We don't do that. That doesn't happen. And I kind of asked, because it was the Penix thing that we specifically talked about, our quarterback. What would happen if you got a guy that somebody who couldn't get up to get him now tells you today, we'd like him? Why isn't that a thing in the NFL?
I'm not sure how it works. If you can't make any deals until the draft is over, someone will
have... You can't tell me what to do. They're making deals today.
Apparently they
can. They're already making deals today.
You could trade draft choices, but
right.
You can't trade the players
themselves.
What do
you mean you can't trade the players?
Listen, take it up with the Players Association. Take it up with
taking it up with anybody. I'm telling you.
The 11 o'clock hour, just don't take it up with Finley Roofing. They bring you the hour of 11 o'clock.
Hey, you want to hear a piece of sound? Because... can I tell you, I did my own grading of the first round last night, and my grading was, and my the category was the teams that trended the most. You know who finished first? Your Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I would guess.
They got an A-plus in trending. Boy, did they trend hot and heavy yesterday.
Yeah, sometimes be careful what you wish for, because a lot of times trending is a good thing until it's not. Bill Belichick pulls no punches during his draft night coverage. We'll have that for you in about 5 minutes.
Punching it in from the goal line. This is the Drive into the Red Zone.
Over 150,000 fans were there in Detroit. Roger Goodell very awkwardly comes out with Eminem. I'm not really sure what was happening
protection.
There.
Now, Eminem
was stumbling and stammering all over himself.
He looked a little casual last night. And by casual, I mean it looks like he was at a happy hour. Or it sounded like he was at a happy hour. Collar was pretty wide open. Now, look, here's the deal. He knew he couldn't come out directly with Eminem, but boy, Eminem was right behind him. So he gets his first initial boo, and here comes Eminem. And then here come the Detroit Lions stars, current players and everything else. I was like, he didn't really get what he was supposed to get, a couple of barrels worth.
What I say is, and I said it on social media last night, just turn full-blown heel. Come out in Packers gear. Come out in Bears gear. Come on, bring it on. That's all you got, Detroit? I guess that's what happens when you win nothing for years. I mean, if you're going to do it, you're going to get booed anyway. You might as well go full tilt boogie anyway. One of the traditions as well, and people were concerned about this because Roger Goodell was coming off back surgery, was whether or not he was going to embrace everybody. He did. He fought through the pain, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Profiles in courage with the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell.
So
embracing draft choices last night.
So those are
I'm very cynical today.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Those are more bear huggish than bro hugs, but I think it's time. You know, it sort of feels like rise up to me. All right, we've seen everybody hug the commissioner. Believe me, the first time he finds you or tells you you did something wrong, you're not really going to feel the same way about him. So why start off on this fake note? You do know he's the enemy. He's the man.
When all is said and done, that's exactly what he is.
You know why Caleb Williams won't make the money that Jamarcus Russell made this many years later?
Because of the owners and Roger Goodell?
The men.
That's it.
And Roger Goodell is part of the men group. He's the man.
He is the man. Never mind the men group. The first 14 picks, all offensive players, more than doubled the previous record. Actually, it did double exactly 7 straight back in 2021. We know Michael Penix, one of those picks at 8. Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN shares his thoughts on the selection.
You invest $100 million in Kirk Cousins, and remarkably, you don't help your team. I thought, gosh, since March, guys, like, you're paying that bill so you can help your defense with the 8th pick. Like, it made a lot of sense to me, like, to justify that value, Chris. So, it's just absolutely stunning. I love Penix. I just don't know how he gets on the field.
Mike Tannenbaum having a conversation with Chris Domino.
Yeah. But then he pulled back a little bit.
Kidding.
Do we have a second cut from Tannenbaum? Because I think in the second cut, he sort of circles back a little bit.
Well, I think that he stands in agreement with what we're saying about Michael Penix, the player. It's a little bit different when you talk about the player as opposed to the pick. Do we have that cut?
All right. So the point is that Tannenbaum circles back around. Here's what he said.
When you look at A.J. Brown getting $32 million a year, guys, what they're saying is we can't pay Brandon Ayuk the money that he wants. He's going to have to graduate And, you know, we got Juwan Johnson who'll go outside.
Never mind.
I don't know what this is.
Yeah, never mind. There was Tannenbaum went on to talk a little bit more about the Falcons at one point. So, and the pick of the Falcons. How Penick has talent, blah, blah, blah.
Well, he does have talent. He says he's not worried about his injury history. He's not worried about any of that. But the point is, remarkably, to use the term that he used in that first cut, you chose nothing to help out the guy that you invested six figures in.
Right.
That's the thing that doesn't
didn't
make
help
sense
the team.
To anybody.
You didn't help the team. If I'm a guy on that team and I'm 32 years old, and I was like, you know what? Yeah, Cousins. I'm going to roll with Cousins. It's going to give me a chance to go to the postseason. And, man, what do you see what they do over the draft this week? I'm feeling really good about it. They're going to get us more talent. We're going to be a better team. You did nothing to help your team out in 2024. Nothing last night.
What did you think about Bill Belichick on with Pat McAfee?
Again, he's very casual. Speaking of casual, he looked very different than he did in the Dynasty, that's for sure.
Where
he looked the most uncomfortable he's ever looked.
Now, McAfee's a big fella.
Yeah.
But he looked really, really small.
Yeah.
Did he not?
Did McAfee
have him stand on a box or something, Bill Belichick?
Did McAfee pull that thing where they were actually going to make him look smaller?
Maybe he was standing on a box like they used to do with Andre the Giant to make him look even taller. Anyway, here's Bill Belichick talking about Michael Penix Jr.
Well, again, I think there's a lot to like about J.J. McCarthy, too. You know, and Penix, I mean, these two guys have both, they've won a lot of games. They've made a lot of good plays. There may be a little bit less upside, but I think these guys, there's not much downside. They have a higher floor, maybe a little bit lower ceiling, but I think the ceiling still pretty good with both McCarthy and Penix. Interesting picks that, you know, and I can see why they're in the top 10. There's a lot to like about both these guys.
Okay. Now, then he went on to say this about Drake May, who was taken by his old team, the Patriots, at number 3. I think that's certainly a top need for them. Drake compares himself a lot to Josh Allen. He's been doing that for quite a while. We'll see about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a... you're asking me, I don't want to say it's because of the Patriots, but I'm just going to tell you, here's what he looked at least a little bit more comfortable talking about players than we thought he might initially. This is pretty all fresh to him. So it does sound like he might not go all in, but it does feel like he's going to work the periphery of letting you know that he's not very happy with something.
Nick Saban had some things to say about a dog drafted in the first round. We'll get to that as we go on campus at 1. That is an extended tease, Chris.
Hey, do we have the Bears GM? Because at some point, I'm not really sure why you would ask a general manager about another team's picks. But this is how amazing and interesting. Belichick used the word interesting with McCarthy and Penix. It's two totally different books of interesting. One is a team moved into the top 10 to get a guy. That's always interesting. The other is this team used the 8th pick to pick a guy that they're going to bench. That's a completely different type of interesting. Here is in Chicago. When asked about the Atlanta Falcons pick last night, here's Poles, their GM.
Well, the Atlanta pick, though, is that were you expecting it?
No, I'm just happy it worked out that way.
Ryan Poles is laughing at the Falcons.
And then he got other people in the room, based upon his initial reaction, to start laughing hard. So, again, most trending team. I think they might have won the most laughed at team. I don't know if that's a real thing or not, but it sounds like with that cut, at least, they got an A in being laughed at.
A couple of names that were linked to the Falcons. Leiatu Latu, we know, became, as we said earlier, the first defensive player off the board at number 15. He went to the Colts. A lot of people were surprised by that selection. Dallas Turner goes number 17 overall. The Vikings trade up to take him. And again, these are the two players, along with Quinion Mitchell, who went to the Eagles later on. Three players overall that I think a lot of Falcons fans are going to be keeping an eye on
year.
If they have monster years, Latu and or Dallas Turner or both, oh boy.
I think you're selling it short. If one of the receivers has a big year and you don't win your postseason game or you lose because you couldn't score enough points, or if a corner gets beat in an important game where you don't go to the postseason or you lose in a postseason, the sack thing is the easiest number. The other stuff is going to come into play if you don't go to the postseason or if you do and when you lose, and you could have said the 8th pick overall could have avoided that. Whether it would have been true or not, you will have the right to say that.
And all season long, you can't say, well, Michael Penix is doing this, because Michael Penix, unless a disaster takes place and Kirk Cousins gets hurt, is going to be on the sidelines with a baseball cap on. That's what he's going to be doing for not one, but 2 years. Again, every time I say that out loud, I'm dumbfounded. I'm not over it yet. You took a top 10 pick who's not going to play for 2 years.
And you couldn't find a wherewithal or a partner to move back. And I'm not even, look, if Penix was the guy you wanted this much, You shouldn't have paid Kirk Cousins. I'm not denouncing Penix, but it would have been a different approach of how to approach 2024 and 2025. We're going to take our lumps with a young guy, whatever our lumps might be, but we just bought the end, we just bought the corner, and we did something in the second round that helps maybe Michael Penix not have as many growing pains as every rookie will.
Lincoln Riley.
What about him sitting for 2 years? This is a guy who had injury. So I'm going to be up. Preview this. I asked Phil Simms.
Yeah.
I said,
who's going to join us at 12:20?
For a guy who's always been used to playing, the fact that he's been injured and had to watch, will that make it easier for him to sit and watch? Because he's going to watch all the other five quarterbacks start this year. And he's going to be sitting there going, are you kidding me? I'm better than him, 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 and him. And I'm the one who's got to sit. What happens to his mentality as this goes along for a while?
I don't know. And also, do you worry about a guy sitting for a couple of years? Like Deshaun Watson didn't play for a couple of years, and he seems to be injury prone now. We know that Michael Penix has already had a ton of issues with the ACL and the shoulder. I don't know what to think about this. I really don't.
By the way, I was looking at draft grades.
As far as him staying healthy, I don't know.
You know how I feel. I find draft grades comical. But I found it interesting that people were giving C's to a pick that they said one of the riskiest picks in recent memory. Well, how's that a C then? It shouldn't be a C if it's one of the riskiest picks in memory. If you're a guy who's done this for a while, how does the riskiest pick that you've ever seen get a C?
I have no idea.
Yahoo, by the way, gave it an F. CBS felt very generous. They gave it a B, but they went out and said, we like the player, but not the pick.
That's
so why'd you give it a B?
For the most part, everybody is saying
This is the stupidity of draft grades. They're not unto themselves stupid. They are. Then you have columns or a paragraph written about a guy where what you're writing doesn't even coincide with the grade you just gave.
Lincoln Riley from Southern Cal made NFL draft history when Caleb Williams went number one overall, the third player to emerge from a Riley-led program, joining Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. And two of the things that I thought would happen did happen. Speaking of Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison went to the Cardinals at 4. They told him, look, barring anything completely unforeseen, if somebody knocks our socks off, we'll make a deal. But if we stay here, don't worry about nothing else. We're going to take you.
We found out the Patriots and the Vikings did call the Chargers about Herbert. They had said no, they weren't going to do it. And they took the tackle to protect. And let me tell you something. Where are you going to get a helmet to fit that guy's head? Where the hell did they ever find a helmet to fit his head in college?
That is
a big young man.
When Joe Alt was selected, they showed him sitting there with his family prior to the selection, and I thought to myself, boy, he really doesn't want to go play for the Chargers, does he? But no, it was the video of him sitting there prior to the selection.
Well, he didn't know if he was supposed to get up.
Because then they were celebrating
right
later on.
Yeah, he didn't know if he was supposed to get up. He knew he was about to be picked. They put a camera on him, and he wasn't sure if he was supposed to get up and do anything. But he hugged, I don't know if that's his girlfriend or his wife. He is huge. It looked like he was sitting in a little person's chair. Like, you know, the chairs you have in kindergarten libraries. You ever do special reading, special guest reader,
yes,
or whatever,
surprise reader? Yeah.
And you have to sit in an elementary school library chair. Joe Alt made a regular sized chair look like he was sitting in an elementary school library.
Does part of you feel bad for Michael Penix?
Yes, I just said it.
He's going to get raked over the coals.
I don't think he is. See, I don't think he
relatively
is. He's going to catch shrapnel. He's not going to get raked over the coals because here's the other part. It ain't his fault. People know that. He didn't pick himself. He didn't pick up a phone and call Michael Penix and say, hey, Michael, come play for the Falcons. Okay, Michael, I will. People know that. They're smart enough for that. They love the backup quarterback. His thing is there's going to be an expectation if and when Kirk Cousins goes down. I don't know how bad Cousins would have to play to be benched, but I do know if he goes down, you better be ready. Because you don't have the wiggle room now. That's where his problem is. He doesn't have wiggle room. He's got to come out and wow, because we thought you were worth $100 million. We thought you were worth $100 million. Like the money that we're going to have to pay Cousins and the money we're not going to have to pay him if we want you in 2 years. He's even more expensive than the normal quarterback.
So Michael Penix will talk to the media later on today. We're at TPC Sugarloaf. Speaking of golf, the Mitsubishi Classic is going on, and the inaugural Braves Golf Classic coming to the Atlanta Athletic Club's championship course May the 6th. Your favorite Braves legends are going to be there. It's a four-person scramble, breakfast, lunch, and a post-round of awards to get your foursome. And for more information, go to braves.com/golfclassic today. And speaking of golf, something horrifying happened in the world world of golf yesterday that I think, Domino, is near and dear to your heart. Okay. We'll touch on that real quick, get back to your thoughts on what the Falcons did. We'll try to squeeze in some calls, 404-231-1680. A.J. Minter from the Braves at noon. Phil Sims will talk about the draft, the Falcons in particular at 1220. Here on Cellini and Domino, it's the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
11:51, Cellini, Domino, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Who cares?
Here at TPC Sugarloaf, it's not an Arthur Smith problem, that's for sure. The Mitsubishi Electric Classic going on. Phil Sims will talk about his thoughts and give us straight out his thoughts on Michael Penix Jr. coming to the Falcons at number 8 last night. The shocking series taking place at the Battery this weekend. Going to preview that with A.J. Minter of the Braves. He's a record holder in his own right. He is going to join us at 12 o'clock. Real quick, speaking of golf.
Yeah.
The PGA Tour's Zurich Classic in New Orleans briefly interrupted on Thursday on the 17th hole. Did you see what happened?
No, what happened?
As the players were waiting to tee off at that 17th hole, an alligator casually and very slowly walked across the tee box.
Yeah, they don't want to tip their hand. Of course they're going to go casually and slowly.
Are you staying on that golf course
once
you see that gator?
I'm out.
I mean, he was taking his good old time, man.
I'm walking through the front door that night. My wife's going to say, "What are you doing here?" I said, "What do you see?" "I'll tell you what." And then I'd pointed to the news story. I said, "I'm going to bed. I ain't going back to that place."
I don't know where he went, but he looked around for a while and didn't pursue anyone.
There's only one.
That's true.
There's never only one. Nobody travels in ones. There's not an animal alive that travels in ones.
All fair points, and that's why I think you should have cleared the golf course if you were anybody else there. This weekend's going to be big for the Braves. Also, First Horizon Bank and Double Play ATL teaming up to give back. You can join 643 with Dylan Short live. Bring your new and gently used baseball and softball equipment to Kennesaw Baseball and Softball Adams Park tomorrow between 9 and 11. Each person making a donation gets a free car wash, compliments of Tidal Wave Auto Spa, brought to you by First Horizon Bank and Tidal Wave Auto Spa. Let's buckle up.
Turn off the GPS and let Domino take the wheel. It's a drive around the sports world, presented by Marietta Toyota. At Marietta Toyota, every new Toyota includes our nationwide lifetime powertrain warranty. Family-owned and operated since 1975. Stop in for a test drive or visit MariettaToyota.com. It's better in Marietta.
Real simple. I was up late last night. I had to clean the cereal and the milk that I had come out of my mouth at one point. So
when that eighth overall selection was made.
Yeah, that took a few
minutes. You did a spit take.
Yeah, people were like, "Oh, you weren't laughing." I said, "No, no, no. I root for storylines. I root for storylines. I know what that pick did." I will say this. If I was going to give another draft grade, the post-press conference or the post-draft press conference suits right on point. Oh, we had two guys who looked really good. Good suit night.
Not really sure I know if they know what they're doing, but you're right.
Yeah, good
tailored,
suit night.
Head to toe, custom made, like Ric Flair used to say.
So I want to go back to one thing that Raheem Morris said. I don't really have the actual audio, blah, 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 blah. But I'll paraphrase. And I want you to, in my head, here's what I'm thinking. There'll be a piece of sound coming in a second. Raheem Morris said, "Hey, man, you saw six of the first 12 picks were quarterbacks. That's what's going on in this league." Does he know and is he aware that basically when you pick a quarterback, it's no better than the odds that when you do this? Like, why am I supposed to go? I don't feel better because he said, "Look, man, six of the first 12 picks were quarterbacks. Well, three of them can't play unless this class is the exception to the exception." And here's the other thing. We're talking about this pick. Like, this kid in 2 years, don't worry, when he takes over, this will all be worth it. How do you know? So the guy who's now asking me, I would have spent my free agent $100 million differently. That's all. I would have played him. If I liked him this much, I would have played him, and I would have bought defense. I would have said, how do I help him out? And I would have done the things in the rest of the draft. And by the way, do you know the other thing? We didn't even bring this up. The OC for the Falcons saw Matthew Stafford every day throwing a football. You know what he thinks he has in Michael Penix? He thinks he's got that arm. And by the way, I love that match because that's the type of arm he has. But you can't tell me in 2 years, don't worry, we're rooting for Kirk for four. But if it's only two, we got the guy. Well, how do you know you got the guy?
Nobody knows anything. As you said long ago, it's a crapshoot. Everything across the board is a crapshoot.
It's not a crapshoot.
It is. Because you wouldn't have taken another quarterback if it wasn't.
We have to go with the premise that, oh, no, 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 he'll be worth the wait. I don't know that. You don't know that. So I might have $100 million in a guy who's a little bit pissy now. Kirk Cousins, I think he's a good guy. He'll get over it. I hope he knows that part of the job is measuring.
He'll be a good teammate.
Yeah, I think so.
He will be.
But I spent $100 million. I think I'm rooting for my $100 million man to be so good that I can't play the other guy. But then I have to eat the fact that I drafted a guy who doesn't play.
Well, here's my question.
And I don't even know if the guy who I drafted who doesn't play can actually play.
In the here and now, and no one can dispute this, in the here and now, prior to the draft continuing tonight, are you a better team? No, you're not. You're not a better team after the eighth overall pick.
And again, a gentleman said that pick last night or any picks during this draft are not going to help you get over the top. That's a ridiculous statement. I don't know that. You don't know that. I don't know if there's going to be a rush edge guy who actually puts a team closer, puts them in the playoffs or whatever it is. I don't know that, but neither do you. So you can't tell me that the problem again is going to be don't make the playoffs. They're going to pay. Terry Fontenot is going to pay the price. Don't make the playoffs. But if you make the playoffs and you come up short in an area that you could have drafted a guy, you've got to live with the idea that Michael Penix holding a clipboard, or whatever the hell it is they hold now in the technology-driven world, that pick means that you didn't have another player on the field, offensively or defensively, for an entire playoff run.
And let's please stop. People are still bringing it up. Stop bringing up Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. They were an established playoff team, and they took Aaron Rodgers 24th overall, and they took Jordan Love 26th overall. They weren't top 10 picks. It's not the same. It's apples and oranges. Stop doing that.
Well, they were grooming a guy as a playoff team. We're hoping to be a playoff team. We're sort of convincing ourselves, because the division stinks, we're a playoff team. But are you going to fall short because you could have had another piece that could have helped you be more successful this year? It ain't going to be with a first-round pick. We'll find out if it comes in any of the other rounds.
Hey, introducing the 680 The Fangirl, our brand-new social media sports content tailored to the ladies. Less X's and O's, more lifestyle-driven sports content. The Fangirl pages curated expressly for our 680 female sports fans.
Now you're not helping.
I guess I'm not. Become a 680 The Fangirl today. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok. I guess some aren't happy with The Fangirl, but, you know, some should be more concerned with what they do once the microphone is off at their place of employment. That's all I'm going to say, and maybe I've said too much. The Braves and their record,
have a problem.
Their record holder, A.J. Minter, as they get ready for the Guardians this weekend, will join us when we come back.
Corvette once he actually broke the hold record.
He can talk about that and more again when we return here on Chiellini and Domino. Sugarloaf is where we are. The TPC Sugarloaf and the Mitsubishi Electric Classic opening round happening as we speak. It's the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.